morning, I invite you to take out your outline, which you'll find in the bulletin, and hopefully that'll be of use to you in reflecting on the message today, maybe taking notes, and even most importantly, what you hear God whispering to your spirit as you go through the message. As you pull that out, I also wanted to let you know about a special event happening tonight at our later at St. Luke's service. Barbara Boyd, who's one of the early African-American women news broadcasters here in Indianapolis, is going to be speaking tonight about overcoming adversity. So that's the 6 o'clock later at St. Luke's service that'll be in Robertson Chapel, and encourage you to come back tonight. That'll be a very, very meaningful service. Well, when we began this series on prayer, I was going to the hospital after the last service that morning, and while I was on the way, I called my parents to see how they were doing. And while we were talking, my dad shared this funny story about their great-granddaughter named Cora, my sister's grandchild. She was in a store with her mother and became fixated on some little treat that she had to have, like typical children will do. And she kept talking about the treat. The mother kept saying, "No, Cora, you're not going to have that." No, it was not unclear what the answer to her request was. No. Finally, her mother had enough, and she said, "Cora, I said no, and I don't want to hear you bring it up again." So later, when they were in the car going home, she overheard the daughter in the back seat, sitting in her car seat, talking about the item she wanted over and over and over. Her mother said, "Cora, I told you that's enough. I don't want to hear it again." And she said, "I wasn't talking to you, Mommy." She said, "Well, who are you talking to?" "I'm talking to God." "Well, what does God say?" "God said I could have it." There are probably times when all of us are like children and want God to agree and give us what we're asking for. But what would it make of faith? What kind of level of immaturity in faith would it leave us to have a God of whom we make nothing more than a magic genie to give us everything we want? How could God do that, really? Think about it very practically. How could God give everyone everything they ask for? How could God this afternoon satisfactorily answer the prayers of Purdue fans and Michigan State fans, assuming that Michigan State fans even pray in the first place? I figured that would get some kind of reaction, making sure you're tuned in with me today. But we understand that very practically, it's an impossibility. Remember the movie Bruce Almighty? A frustrated reporter who has his prayer heard by God when God gives to him all of God's powers. And Bruce begins to learn the problems with that as he uses those powers to get his needs met, and starts to understand the universal implications and impact on other lives when he does it. And then it all goes horribly wrong when his way of responding to the prayers of the world is simply to tell everybody yes. After all, when there are 28 million winners of the lottery, there's not much left to go around. The poet Longfellow captured it very well. What discord should we bring into the universe if our prayers were all answered? Then we should govern the world and not God. And do you think we should govern it any better? No, on a practical level, we understand this. Sometimes we even experience the benefit of not having our prayers answered. Remember the Garth Brooks song, in which he tells about going back and meeting an old high school sweetheart. And he recalls the prayers of his high school days that God would help him win her over to become his girl. And all these years later, with his wife by his side, thankful that things did not turn out that way. And so he sings, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers." Remember, when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Ignore the grammar. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Intellectually, we get it, right? But that's not the place where most of us live when it comes to the issue of unanswered prayer. Where we live is when we pray for a loved one to make it through a surgery, and it doesn't turn out that way. When we pray for a child not to be taken from us because of a disease, and that's not the case. When we pray that innocent victims in the world would not be slaughtered because of the evil atrocities done by other people, and that's not the case. No, that is what takes this matter of unanswered prayer from being an academic pursuit and brings us to the brink of faith, where we ask, can we even believe in a God who is good and powerful? But that is also the place where we probably have more in common with the saints of faith than all of the prayers we've ever had answered. If there's one thing the saints will testify to as a common experience in the life of faith, it's the frustration of a God who sometimes does not answer affirmatively to what we request, and even more, doesn't answer at all. As Dave explained before the prayer time, the Psalms and some of the verses we heard from the prophets are examples of laments. A whole section of scripture that's been categorized under that title as a way of saying that in the Bible, people agree on the experience of life that is not better described than a lament. When you bring to God your request and that request is not answered in the way that you want, or you don't even experience God's presence at all, go from the scriptures into the centuries of faithfulness, into the church and its history, and you hear people saying, "Yes, I've been there, I've stood on that ground, I have prayed to God, and I felt absolutely nothing at times." Saint Teresa, Mother Teresa, put it this way, "As for me, the silence and emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. The tongue moves in prayer but does not speak." If you've ever been on that ground, you're in good company. But what do we do there? What can we learn from the authors of Scripture, the saints of our tradition, who reflect on their own experiences of emptiness and the void of heaven? How can we be encouraged? I want to offer the wisdom that I've gained in reading many, many books and chapters on the mystery of unanswered prayer and studying Scripture. And put that wisdom together in the form of three questions. Now, when we get to the end of the message, you might look back over the three questions and think, well, those are pretty trite ways of putting it. But I believe within the simplicity of these questions are affirmations that will be worth holding on to. In fact, if I have any hope for your outline today, it is that you might scribble some things on this sheet of paper. And if you don't need it now, you'll file it away in the pages of your Bible or in a place of safekeeping at home, so that when you're in that place, you might pull it out. You might find some encouragement. So what's the first question that sort of puts together some of the wisdom we learn from Scripture and saints in our past. One is this: is God saying grow? Is God saying grow? When I'm in a time of unanswered prayer, it's a good period to ask, is this a time God wants me to grow in some way? The Bible speaks of many examples of unanswered prayer as having clear reasons that God has for not answering. That sometimes the reason our prayer is not heard is because of something. Now, let me also say that the way I find helpful in reading the Bible is not to look at the Bible as some kind of a legal rule book, something you have to follow, as much as I believe it's a faith journal. It is people speaking out of their experience of life and how they understand God in those experiences, and they're sharing that wisdom. So in the experience of unanswered prayer, here are some of the opportunities for growth that writers of the Bible identify. One of them is self-examination. Self-examination. The prophet Isaiah said, "Your iniquities have been barriers between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Why did Isaiah write those words? He watched people blatantly ignoring God's desire for them and then standing around perplexed when God was not answering all their requests the way they wanted. He said, this is a time for self-examination. Take an account of your own life. Some questions that are good to ask in a time of unanswered prayer: is anything in my life not in accordance with God? Is anything in my life not in accordance with God? Am I doing things in my life in a way that does not honor God? They're good questions to ask. When I was a teenager, entering soon to be adulthood, my dad said to me, he said the same thing to my siblings. "Now, you know the rules that your mother and I have for the house. You're getting to a place that you don't have to come in at a certain curfew at night. You can start exercising your own freedom, but you will live by our rules under our roof. You don't have to. I want to be clear. You can do whatever you please, but don't expect the benefits of living under our roof." Now, sometimes we would say, "Oh, that's not the God I believe in. I believe in a God of grace. I believe in a God of benevolence." But is it not benevolent of God to offer to us a way of life that God intends, that's full of blessing? And what does it say about us if we blatantly ignore that way and then get mad at God for not doing what we want? Self-examination. Another opportunity that writers of Scripture talk about is relational repair. Relational repair. Jesus said in Matthew, "If you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go first, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift." Now, it's talking about offering, but it could equally be talking about prayer, because Jesus understood that our vertical relationship with God is highly impacted by our horizontal relationships. And when we live constantly in friction with other people, it's hard not to have friction with God. Sometimes in a time of unanswered prayer, it's good to say, "God, is there somebody I need to do some relational repair with?" Then, yet another opportunity unanswered prayer presents is to explore motives. Explore motives. Jesus' own brother James wrote in his letter, "And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure." Sometimes in a period of unanswered prayer, We have to honestly ask God, are my motives pure? Oh God, change this child of mine. Straighten out my spouse. And God isn't doing it. And God might want to whisper, what's really bothering you? That you care about them? Or they're not doing something that would make your life easier? Sometimes it's good just to say, are my motives pure? And then one last reason, deepen compassion. When we're in a time of unanswered prayer, it's good to take an account of our passion and our concern for others. Proverbs 21:13, if you close your ear to the cry of the poor, you will cry and not be heard. God clearly says, I'm not answering the prayers of people who turn a deaf ear to the cry of the needy. Now, four things, but let me offer this. Be careful in looking at this. Don't take these too far so that every time your prayer is not being answered, you're going, okay, God, what sin have I committed? What relational problem do I have? My motives must be all screwed up. I must be lacking compassion. That might not be the case. These are good opportunities to grow, but they're good opportunities to grow in any season of life. If there is a best opportunity to grow in a season of unanswered prayer, it's this: to enlarge our trust in God. To enlarge our trust. The 16th century mystic, St. John of the Cross, wrote extensively about what he called the dark night of the soul. When you pray, when you seek God's help, and it just seems like you get nothing. And he writes about the blessing that a time like that brings. He said the blessing that the silence of heaven gives a person is it keeps them from becoming dependent on exterior results in our faith. Now, what is that about? Sometimes we want God to respond to us in a certain way, to give us a certain feeling, to give us a peace that we want, a comfort that we want, a guidance that we want. And when that doesn't come, we're frustrated. And what God might be inviting us to do is to break free of simply experiencing God on our terms. And to grow deeper in our faith. I think about our world today and how relevant this is. We live in a world highly dependent on exterior results. If we want to get online, we press a button on the computer and we are available to the world. If we want to find out what's happening out in the world or to get some entertainment, we touch the button on the remote control, the TV comes on. We turn the phone on. We are used to instant response. And what do you feel like when you hit the button on your remote and nothing happens? I mean, it's a moment of crisis, isn't it? We have a new little gadget in our kitchen. It's a black cylinder, sits on the counter, and it has a name, Alexa. I can walk into my kitchen and say, Alexa, play Willie Nelson, and Willie Nelson starts playing. Alexa, what's the weather today? And she tells me the weather in Indianapolis. Alexa, what's the news? And NPR immediately comes on. I'm talking more to Alexa these days than I am God. And I'm realizing Alexa can become an idol. Because it's something that gives me what I want, when I want, and God refuses to ever become an idol. Not because God's arrogant, but because we need a bigger God than that. We need a God who's bigger than a magic genie. Sometimes a period of unanswered prayer is a good time to ask, should I be growing right now? But another question. Is God saying slow? Sometimes God says grow, but sometimes what God says in a period of unanswered prayer is slow, wait, be patient. The children of Israel prayed for 400 years to be delivered from slavery. Why did God take 400 years? I don't know. But one day God answered the prayer. And God sent Moses to deliver people. But that was not exactly what the people were wanting. Life did not get easier because their prayer was answered. It got harder. You see, they wanted Alexa and they got Moses. Look at what they say to Moses. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? You see, God answered their prayer. It wasn't the way they wanted God to answer their prayer. Sometimes that's our frustration, isn't it? It's not that God isn't answering prayer. It's God getting creative on us. It's God doing something different from what we want God to do. And our coming to acceptance of that. The 5th century theologian Augustine, whom we today call Saint Augustine, grew up a rebellious kid. He lived a wild life. It's the reason he didn't want to be baptized. You see, back then, it was believed that when you were baptized, your sinning days were over. You had to live an upstanding life after that. He shunned being baptized. He had too much fun to have in life to be baptized yet. So his mother, Monica, prayed every day for her son that he would be baptized and become a Christian. But Augustine wanted to sail from their home in North Africa to Rome. And she knew if he goes to Rome, that's it. He'll be lost forever. One night, she prayed in a seaside chapel all night long. Please, God, don't let my son go to Rome. And while she prayed, he got on the boat. He went to Rome. Her prayer was flatly denied, except for the fact that in Rome, Augustine experienced Christ. And not only became a Christian, he became a priest. And not only became a priest, became a bishop in the church and returned to North Africa. Her prayer was denied and answered at the same time. Sometimes in a period of unanswered prayer, we have to ask God, do you want us to enlarge our vision? Have I tried to narrow your activity, God, to working in a way that I think you must work to accomplish this great good for which I ask? And do I need to take my hands off the answer and say, God, your ways are bigger than my ways. I'm just going to go slow and wait and pray and trust in you. And that brings us to probably the biggest question of all. Is God saying no? Because sometimes we have to ask, how long should we pray for something? How long do we keep petitioning God without experiencing an answer? When do we finally give up and say, okay, God, your answer must be no, so I'm going to stop now? Here's a good rule of thumb. Pray until the circumstance changes or you change. Pray until the circumstance changes or you change, because eventually one of those two things will happen. Eventually, the circumstance is going to change and you'll have an answer. And no is as valid an answer as yes. Or God will change something in us. King David went to his home one night and laid down on the floor with his face down in the dirt, praying to God to spare his child. All night long, his attendants became worried about him. They tried to get him to eat, but he refused. And finally, the child died. Nobody wanted to tell the king. If this is how he acts when the child is alive, what's he going to do when he finds out the child died? But when he found out, he got up, he went straight to the temple, and he worshiped God. And then he washed and put on lotions and went home and ate, because he had his answer. Pray until the circumstance changes or until you change. The Apostle Paul shared very personally toward the end of his second letter to the Corinthians about a very troubling issue in his life. We don't know what it was. All he called it was a thorn in his flesh. But we know he desperately wanted to be rid of it. Look at the verse that's in your outline. Three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need." Now think about that. Paul got a clear answer each time he prayed, but he didn't want to hear it. What he wanted to hear God say is, "I'm going to remove this obstacle in your life. I know it's causing you pain. I know that you would do anything if you could be rid of its torment. I know it's negatively impacting your ability to live well and to carry out your ministry. But my grace is sufficient." But one day, Paul accepted that answer. He changed. His circumstance didn't. And listen to what he went on to write. "Therefore, I'm content with weaknesses, for whenever I am weak, then I'm strong." Harry Emerson Fosdick says this about that passage: "Either God changes the circumstances or supplies sufficient power to overcome them." Either God changes our circumstances or supplies the help that we need to get through the circumstances we face. Adoniram Judson was a 19th century missionary in Burma. He started out his career praying that he would serve in India. That was his prayer. But the prayer wasn't answered, and so he ended up serving 40 years in Burma. He prayed for the well-being of his wife and his children, but he buried his wife and two of his children. He was wrongly imprisoned one time, and he prayed to be released, but for over 3 months he was chained and miserable. You read the journals of Adoniram Judson, and over and over and over, you read about prayers that were not answered. But at the end of his life, look at what he wrote. "God answers all true prayer, either in kind or in kindness." Think of the power of that statement when you know the life that went before it. God answers all true prayer, either in kind, just as we might say today, in kind service, just as we ask for, or in kindness. What are you praying for today? Have you had a prayer in your life that has been unanswered? Are you praying right now for a situation and you don't see any movement on it? Maybe the answer is wait. Maybe the answer is keep praying. Keep praying until that situation changes or you change. I think about King David getting up from the floor that night and going into the temple after he learned that his son died. What did he pray when he went into the temple then? I believe he changed his prayer. "Now, God, that I have my answer, now give me your help. Now give me your strength." Maybe God's saying, "I just want to use this time to help you grow and to trust in me more. I don't want to be Alexa to you. I want to be God to you." And maybe there's something you've really wanted, and we don't understand why the answer is no. But God offers us the help we need to get through it. Praise be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.